truth. And Lord, it's because that you've gave your spirit in this last day, Lord, and that you have took the book, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you and praise you. May you just take the furtherance of this service, Lord. Speak to our hearts. May you speak to each one. Be with those that are here, those that are not able, Lord. As you know their hearts, their needs, we ask you to bless each one. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here. And we thank him always for his grace and every opportunity we have to come together. Now, I wanted to say, Sister Rhonda does send her greetings to each one. She asked me to greet the people for her. And she says that my mom is improving. And we thank God for that. We think that just getting her on a schedule, and she's eating on a schedule, and she's taking her medicine on a schedule, and just she's getting out a little bit. And you know, when you get in that position sometime, it's a hard place to be. Day and night doesn't mean anything to you. You're just there, and you if you get, you feel like sleeping, you just sleep. And if you don't, so night or day, you can be up or down or anything. And so it really messes up the system. Amen. And your body, it has a way that is best for you. And that consistency of every day, being in that that consistent way. So it has really helped her. And so we appreciate the prayers. I don't know what I was hearing, but those, I guess you'll share, but once you send those out, rather, I'll give these to her. So, now, we have for some time now been talking about getting to this message, and we're finally here, and it's the message is Christ, the mystery of God revealed. We've been looking at it for a long time, and so we're coming at it tonight, and we're going to just kind of lay a foundation and come into it slowly. I want to say I really appreciate the messages Brother Gumba has been ministering, and I've had a really nice break, and it seemed like the longer the break, the more nervous you are when you come back. Just, I think it's just hard on ministers. They, you heard the comments Brother Gumba's made, Brother Michael, and it's hard sometimes on the flesh, but it's a great thing spiritually. We're blessed, and we know it, and so we enjoy that part of it, and we thank God, and we want to just do all we can to serve him and to please him in all things. So now tonight we're going to read in Colossians. We're going to take Brother Branham started in the 15th verse and read conclusive through the 29th verse. I'm going to start at the 9th verse and read the remainder of the chapter. It's a good bit of reading of scripture there, but Brother Branham uses a good bit of scripture, and I don't want to bypass it because there's a lot of good things that are said, and a lot of things that are that pointed to that day are pointed to this day. And so that's what makes it sweet for us, is when we see it established perfectly in this day, in this hour. Amen. So in beginning in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and understanding." And so, Amber, I'm going to let you have that right there. Sorry. So, catch what he's saying. Filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Filled with the knowledge of his will. I'm thinking that's a great place to be. That's a great place. How many times have we said, or somebody asked you, if I just knew what he wanted me to do, I pray for me concerning this, pray for me concerning that. You know, we're constantly, the bride is, constantly seeking the will of the Lord. Constantly, we're wanting to find that place and know daily that what we're doing is what He wants. And so it's more than just, should I buy a car, or should I buy a house, or should I do this, or should I do that? But it's His will for the age. It's what He had in His mind to bring forth in this day and this hour. So let me read it again. We do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, this is the 13th verse. I just really love it. It's kind of like a favorite scripture for me, because as is in the Invisible Union, when he talks about the word that fell on the day of Pentecost won't work today. This scripture here means so much more in light of the revelation of this day. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And Brother Branham, he don't take a lot of places on that, but he did spend some time in the Church Ages book, and he talked about it, and he talked about that we are now, not we're going to be. I've heard people say that that's going to be in the future. He said we are right now spiritual kings, and we reign over a spiritual kingdom. And he said that we reign with Christ, having dominion. We have dominion. And this I know you've studied, and it's the rising of the sun, the things that the prophet said there. We have dominion over sin, over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil. All of that in this spiritual kingdom that we're in. And this, as spiritual priest, we have dominion over the flesh. And we thank God. See, showing forth His praise and glory. I'm sorry. I put a note in there, and I was reading it. Colossians chapter 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature. Now, this is where Brother Branham started when he was taking his text. He started right here, and it goes right in deep right off the bat. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Brother Gumba, if that's not predestination, I don't know what else we could say. I don't know what else we could do to prove predestination. Everything, every power, visible and invisible, every principality, every throne, everything was created by Him and for Him. It was created for His purpose, so that He could display Himself. Of all the bad that's out there, it's making His presence shine that much greater. It's making His light shine. It's making His people shine that much greater. It's making the bride shine that much greater. The Brother Branham said, if you didn't have night, you couldn't appreciate the day. If you didn't have a filthy woman, you couldn't appreciate a real genuine sister, believer. If you didn't have a bad man out there, you couldn't appreciate a real gentleman, a real Christian believer. He said it takes that to manifest, to bring forth, to make it shine. And that's what God wanted. God couldn't shine unless there was a fall. And by that fall, he has shown his power. He has shown his glory and his majesty and all that he is. He's shown every bit of it. And we thank God for that, because we are the privileged people to live here at the climax, to be right here when this thing comes to the climax of it all. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Is that right? Amen. Nothing's consisting without him. Nothing can continue on without him allowing it to continue on. Amen. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now, we already talked about that firstborn one time, and there's a lot of words I'm hoping that we're going to be able to spend some time on them as we go along. I think in verse 15, he said he was the firstborn of every creature. Here he's saying he's the firstborn from the dead. That in all things he might have the preeminence. And that word there, we know Brother Branham's going to bring it around several times. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. And by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He's covering it all, isn't he? Paul's not leaving any of it out. Not on any part of this concerning Christ. He's taking it all in. That every bit of it was done for him, for his purpose, for his glory, for his honor. All that was created in heaven and earth, everything was for him and by him. He said here, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. See? By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, he's using the word there, reconcile. And that's another word I want to spend some time on. But I got the word out of the dictionary, and then I got the word also out of the Greek. And it's the same. It doesn't change, but I wanted us to read it, and I wanted us to have it, because what it is means to us today. And so, he said, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Okay? That means something had to fall away. Something had to get away from him in order for him to need to reconcile it back to him. Amen. So the word means restore friendly relations. See? He gave an example. She wanted, or the dictionary gave an example. She wanted to be reconciled with her father. See? Or the news reconciled us. And similar words is to repair, make harmonious, restore harmony. And I like that because that's what Adam lost, was that fellowship. Cause to coexist in harmony, make or show to be compatible. So to cause or coexist in harmony, that's what the fall took away, is that relationship that Adam had with God, that they talked in the cool of the evening, that he had complete control over the earth. Dropping down, he's once again similar. Harmonize, square. And the last one there, similar, he says unite. So let's read the 21st verse, and then we'll go to the Greek, because he mentions the word in both. One he says reconciled, the other he says reconciled. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked words, yet now hath he reconciled. So in verse 20, they're saying almost the same thing, but I read the Greek for verse 20 and then the Greek for verse 21. It means to reconcile completely, to reconcile back again, bring back a former state of harmony. That's what this word means in the Greek in this verse. In verse 20, to bring back a former state of harmony. Now that sounds just like redeem, doesn't it? It's to bring back. In verse 21, the Greek says, to reconcile completely, to reconcile back again, bring back a former state of harmony. So basically saying the same thing, but Just the word's just a little bit different there. So verse 22, continuing on. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. See? And if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations and now is made manifest. The people of that day, it was being revealed to them, something that God had in his mind hidden from the foundation of the world. Something that they had no idea. They had no comprehension of. This thing come completely. They were looking for a Messiah. That's true. They were looking for him to set up his kingdom. That's true. But it came so different than what they had in their mind. And so as Paul is bringing this great mystery to them, the prophet is bringing the continuation of it in this day. He's bringing the climax of it in this day. But just think, what a change that it was for them that were under the law, them that were making those sacrifices. Think for Paul himself, what the way that he was doing concerning the church and concerning the revelation of that day. And then to think that God turned him around and using him now to bring this great revelation that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. To reveal that what Christ came for, why that he came on the earth, and what the significance was of him giving his life, and what it meant to the people, what it meant to the church, what it meant to the body of Christ. And so that's what he's saying. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Think, he's addressing to the Gentiles now, because now they are being brought into the kingdom. Now they are being caught up into this revelation. Now, and that was part of the Jews' problem. They were the only ones. They were the holy people. They were the holy everything. Jerusalem was the holy place. They come to that place where they made a tradition out of it, and they set above everybody else. And the Gentile was a nobody. And now God has called these nobodies and called them in to this kingdom, the spiritual kingdom. He's woke them up. He's opened their eyes. He's anointed them with his spirit and brought them into this. See? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. How about that? How about that word perfect? It really came to perfect in this day, didn't it? That the revelation that they got there by the blood, that was a great revelation for them. It was a great unfolding of the mystery of God, of what God had in his mind. But you just take the same scripture and you bring it to this day. How much greater is the same mystery as it continued to unfold in a greater way? Verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, in paragraph 101, Brother Branham said, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Christ being the mystery of God revealed. And so that's Brother Branham's subject. I didn't use the title. I don't feel worthy to use his title, the titles, but I got something really close to it. I just titled this Threefold Mystery of God Revealed, and because we're on, this is our subject, and this is what we want to talk about for the next little bit. And in paragraph 102, God's secret mystery he had before the world began. Now back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve. Amen. And this just, when you read these things, and I know all of you know, you've read it, you know what it is. But when I think about it, that we are the blessed people to live in this day. Amen. And how there was a time that we thought the most blessed people would have lived in Jesus' day 2,000 years ago. But Brother Branham said, this is the greatest time. Because this is the time that he takes the book. This is the time that he unveils God. And this great mystery that God had in the back of his mind was revealing of himself. Revealing of himself, not just the man 2,000 years ago. That was the revelation of that day. That was part of the threefold purpose, was for the fullness of God to come down in that man, the firstborn. And so, but now that revelation continues and that manifestation continues right on into the bride, right on into the body that has been building now for the last 2,000 years.
Right.
See, he had it in his mind of what he wanted to express, and he was holding it back. I know you've probably, probably every man here and maybe you sisters too, to somebody at some point in time, maybe men to their wives or whatever, but you had something that you wanted to tell, or you had something you wanted to show, and you just brought it, you wanted to put them in anticipation. You wanted to make them wonder what it was. You wanted to make them want to know what it was. You kind of brought it slowly, and they're like, well, what is it? What is it? Tell me, what is it? And you're bringing that thing slowly until you finally come to the climax of it and tell what it is. And so that's what God had been doing. He had been building and building and building on this great revelation until now he let it out. Could you imagine been sitting there during the seals? Can you imagine sitting there? I think too, as Brother Branham said, this was a blessed day. I would have loved to have been in Brother Branham's meetings. I would have loved to have seen the first poll and the second poll. I'd have loved to have seen those things. And I'd have loved to have been there when the seals was revealed. I'd have loved to have heard it as it was coming forth. But I think it's greater right now. Because it had not opened. It was just beginning to open right there, and they were getting bits and pieces. And even Brother Branham himself, it was coming to him too, and he didn't have the full picture all the time as it was coming. He told us, and we've said it many times that he didn't even know what he said. And somebody would say, Brother Branham, you said such and such. You said time is over. He said, No. You misunderstood. And you go in that message, and he said it over and over and over. Amen. And the scripture said it over and over. Or not, the scripture didn't say it over and over, but our scripture said it over and over. Amen. And so it was, God was just, what he's done now. And that thing, that revelation continued to grow. It continued to grow. And it come, after the prophet was gone, it seemed like there was a lull. But I'm sure there was many that were studying, and those next years, because it seemed like in the 70s, and this is just me, is from what I've seen, it seemed like in the 70s, as many things begin to unfold. And Brother Gumba can tell you how it was in Kenya, and the things that was coming there. But here, there was a lot of great men that were studying the message, and that were bringing forth different things, like on the two souls, and the marriage and divorce came a little by little. But when we say that, usually we're referring to one in many. But the revelation of marriage and divorce is some of what he's going to talk about right here. And is that thing that he had in his mind and how that he wanted to express himself and the thing that he wanted to get over to the people. And he didn't just give it all to them back there in Moses' day, although he did a great thing. He took a man and made him God to the people. That's what he did. He took a man and made him God to the people. And whatever that man said, it happened. He could speak to a rock and make water come out of it. He could just make the food be there. He could do whatever God wanted him to do. And so it's just powerful. Just powerful. See? Now, back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve. And he had a motive. He had a motive in doing it now in order to let himself be expressed. That's it, right there in a nutshell. That's what he wanted. That was his purpose. Because he in order to let himself be expressed. Amen. That's what it was all about. That's what the fall was. That's what you're here for. So that's what the bad is here for. That's what the good is here for, is so that he could express himself. And that's what he's doing. Because first, there wasn't even a moon or a star or an atom, a molecule, anything. He was God, see? Before there was anything. But he exactly wasn't God at that time, because God is an object of worship. And there was nothing, see, to worship him. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's what he's been doing. Bringing those attributes little by little by little, but now at the climax of the whole thing, to just take the veil off of God, to see God and to see the purpose of God, what he had in his mind, what he wanted to express in this day, in this hour. See, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. And in him was love. In him was to be a father. See, in him was to be son. In him was to be a savior. In him was to be a healer. All these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. See, they were in him before the foundation of the world. And so you see the things he's bringing right here. So just same things that he introduced in marriage and divorce. The same thing. The reason for it. The purpose of it. The why. The why it went this way. The why it went that way. So my opinion, the first thing that he made was angels. And then they worshiped him. And that made him God. And he started from there. As in a previous message, I tried to explain it, break it down. When angels began to worship him, that was before there was even a molecule in the earth. Think of that. There was nothing. Brethren said, no air, no moisture, no matter, no nothing, no earth, no sky, no stars, no nothing. See, there was nothing. It was all darkness. There wasn't no sun, no moon, no stars, no nothing. Then he was God. As he asked Job, where was you when I laid the foundation of the world? See? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. And that's quite a scripture right there. See now, where were you? They didn't know where they were. And even in the Pentecostal age and even in the early this age, they didn't know. And a lot of people have gone to their theophany now. And a lot of people think that they were in it back there. And in the 50s, through the 50s, that was what was presented. That Adam was in his theophany. But when the seals was broke, when the book was opened, then in the message, who is this Melchizedek? Then the revelation came. And he said, we came like Adam, not like Christ. Christ was the Word before he became flesh. We bypassed the Word. We bypassed the theophany. We bypassed it. So where were they? Where were they? Where were the sons of God that shouted for joy? They were in his mind. They were in his mind. They were his thoughts. They were in his thoughts waiting to be expressed in their day. See, now, where were you? That was way back before the earth. See, and God had a purpose, a hidden mystery. And that's what I want to speak onto the church this morning. The hidden mystery that God had in his mind before the world ever began. And how it's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living in. Praise God. That's the beauty of it. Look, we can look back there and we see it coming. We see it being unfolded. We see it being manifested. We see him expressing himself, coming down little by little by little. We see him in Moses. We see him in Abraham. We've seen him in David. We see him coming through. We see him in every one of those prophets. And then there was the fullness in Christ. And then we've seen him in Paul. We see him coming through the ages after it went into the ground and it began to rise again. And then the promise was that there would be light in the evening time. The promise was that the Word would be made flesh again, like it was at the tent door of Abraham. That's the day. That's the day that we live in. The hidden mystery that he had in his mind before the world ever began, and how it's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. See? See, then you will understand clearly then. You see, on, I believe, what is being done. As Paul was bringing that great revelation to his people of Christ coming and paying the price for sin, the prophet now is bringing this great revelation, the great threefold purpose of God. Paragraph 106, God's great mystery of how. It's a secret. He kept it a secret. And nobody knowed nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it, see? He didn't reveal it. That's the reason. Under our seventh seal, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. Huh? That's the reason. See? It wasn't revealed. It wasn't made known. Jesus, when he was on earth, they wanted to know when he would come. And he said, even the Son himself don't know when it's going to happen. See? God has this all to himself. It's a secret. And that's the reason there was silence in heaven for a space of a half hour. And seven thunders uttered their voices. And John was even forbidden to write. See? The coming of the Lord. That's the one thing that he hasn't revealed yet. Now, that's a pretty definite statement right there. That's the one thing that he hasn't revealed yet of how he will come and when he will come. It's a good thing that he doesn't. No. Why? Because it's not going to be made known to the public. It's going to be a secret. It's only going to be revealed to a certain group of people, and that's who he's coming to. They're the only ones that are going to know it. That's why it's not revealed. But listen, it was hidden until this day, until he was ready to make it known, until he was ready to take the veil off of God and for the people to see God on the earth. That's why as we go through the messages, like Brother Goomba read the quote, I think he read it. He had it in his message on the rapture message, where he said that it's tremendous when you see God come from heaven and stand before the people and declare himself. Huh? When God comes down and declares himself. Brother Branham is saying here, this seventh seal was a complete mystery. Nobody was going to know it. He said, here's the one thing hasn't been revealed. But then he comes to the unveiling of God and tells us that the veil has been taken off God. And we see him. We see him clearly. He tells us it's tremendous when you see God come from heaven and stand before the people. Think. Now watch what he says. Now, take in the light of that quote, in the light of what he just said, listen to paragraph 107. See, he said it hasn't been known. Nobody knows it. See, he has showed or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. How about that? He has showed it in every type that's in the Bible. Showed it or revealed it. See, therefore, the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. How about that? Therefore, the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. Now, isn't that amazing? Isn't that powerful to think that in this day, he's revealing it, what God, that the one thing that God had in his mind. All the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type. Think about that. Everyone that's in the Bible that you read, every bit of it was pointing to what God wanted to express, what God wanted to do. So if all of them were doing that, what about you? What about you? You are part of that expression that God had in his mind, that he wanted to put on display in this day. See, all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type and expressing what God's great goal is. And now in this last days, he has revealed it and shows it. Now, did he just declare that? That he has revealed it and he has showed it? Because he's talking about the coming. He's talking about the coming. And he's saying that this was a complete mystery, not revealed. Then he says, well, it's been showed or revealed in every type in the whole Bible. He's been showing it all the time. He's been revealing it all the time. But nobody knew what was going on. And now you can look back and you can see what he was doing the whole time. When they couldn't. They didn't have a clue. But now you can look back and you could see it in Abraham's day. You could see it in Moses' day. You could see it through the church ages building up, coming up. Now you see the climax of it. Now you're a part of the climax of it.
That's right.
109. Now if you want to mark this down, I got so many places I want to read from. In Luke, the 24th chapter, see? St. Luke, it is the two of the apostles on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus stepped out after his resurrection. And they were on their road over to Emmaus, going along the road and thinking and talking and weeping on account of his death and how they seen him suffer for what they had thought was of no value at all. Think about that. What they thought was of no value at all. They did not realize what had taken place. They did not realize why it had taken place. They even when he was talking about it beforehand, they weren't comprehending why he would say such things, why he would point to such things. And then after it happens, they were talking to one another, and they told him when he asked them what was wrong. And this is, to me, a most profound statement because of who they were and what had just happened. But they told Jesus, we thought that he was the one that was to redeem Israel. Isn't that just, when the first time I seen that, it just done something to me. We thought he was the one to redeem Israel. They didn't see any value in what he did. No value. And yet he had redeemed Israel.
Amen.
And they didn't have a clue what it was. And that's the people today.
Yes.
They still don't have a clue what happened. What was happening. That what that cloud represented, what that was all about. Even right now, they don't have a clue. And as a matter of fact, some of them that even they got anointed, they got caught up in the preaching and in the anointing and those things, and they thought, oh, praise God, this is it, this is it. I've seen people come here when Brother Holmes was here and sit there and listen to this revelation preached and stand up and tell the people. Many of us came from Florida, 550 miles away. And another brother and his wife, there's many others said they were coming. But there was another brother came, when we came, some of the church stayed there. And so, but then there was more that came, some from some other towns there that we knew and that we witnessed to. And so one brother, he came with his wife. I think they had a baby. I'm not sure they had a baby at that time. And he stood in the church and he said, I'm going home to sell my business and sell my house, and I'm coming here to sit under this revelation. The anointing was so strong. The anointing was so powerful. But as soon as he got back home, it didn't take long. I don't know if he ever put up anything up for sale or not, but it didn't last long. Something wasn't deep enough in there.
Yes.
Something wasn't deep enough. And he didn't have to come here to get it. But if that was God talking to him, to have him come and sit under a ministry, then what happened? If that was God that told him to sell and come start over again, who was it? What was it? I'm not saying you gotta go anywhere except where he wants you to go. Just be led by the Spirit. That's the thing. They said, we thought he was the one who would redeem Israel. And they watched him redeem Israel with their own eyes. They watched him redeem Israel. Jesus stepped out after his resurrection. Let's see if we're... Yep. And they were on their road over to Emmaus, going along the road, thinking and talking and weeping on account of his death, and how they seen him suffer for what they thought was of no value at all. And they took their Lord and crucified him. And they were going along there weeping. And he stepped out from the roadside and he began to talk to them about Christ. And he said, oh, fools, and slow to understand. Don't you know that all of the prophets and the Psalms, see, what was he doing? Identifying himself to these apostles, that all the prophets and all the Psalms and everything was him expressed.
Amen.
Wow. Huh? That was a revelation to them.
Yes, sir.
Think, that was a revelation to them. The same as this message has grown on us.
Amen.
That many times we'd read a message, think, oh, just a evangelistical message, you know, nothing of much value there. Just, you know, he prayed for him sick, he did this, there was some supernatural. Uh-huh. And then after some time, went go back in there and find out, oh, wait a minute, there's some revelation here.
Yes, sir.
There's some things that he said that weren't just evangelistical, repent and be baptized. There's some things here that was revelation.
That's right.
That was to come up higher into this thing.
Amen.
Those things were being spoken all the time. When, I don't know when, Brother Grimm, I don't know if you remember when it was for you, but Christ, the mystery, the invisible union. Brother Branham said that the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work today. I had read that message many times. I had listened to that message many times. And that quote had never clicked for me. It just didn't have no value. It didn't mean anything. It just, the reality of it, it went for years, even though it was a great message and so much in that message. But all of a sudden, when we, to the point we were, where people were trying to get saved by the ordinances. People were trying to get saved by these things from the church ages. Then that quote came alive. And it meant what it said. It just wasn't some words that was thrown out there. That's what's wrong with so many people. It's just some words and he didn't mean it. No, all of a sudden one day, he did mean it.
Amen.
He revealed to you that he did mean it.
Yes.
That the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work today.
Amen.
He meant it.
Yeah.
And now it means something to you. Now it has value to you.
Yes.
And now you take it just like he said it. No matter what other people do with it, no matter what they try to say, well, that can't be right because if that was right, then you wouldn't have to do this or you wouldn't have to do that. That's exactly what he's saying. That's the revelation. As I've been going through some of these things, I keep running across the things that Paul went through on the circumcision. And there was a lot, and I don't know if we'll read any of it, but He was constantly challenged, and he was constantly challenging them for it because he had these disciples that they weren't following the law. Listen, this is just his words, paraphrasing what he said. They weren't following the law. They were supposed to be message believers, but they were trying to get the people to be circumcised. They were trying to get the men to be circumcised, yet not follow the law because Christ has come. And Paul is saying they're doing that because they don't want the persecution. They don't want to be identified as these Gentiles, as these uncircumcised people. So they can be circumcised and then there's no reproach on them when they come into the Jewish groups and these different things. And so they had motive. Paul said they had motive of why they were trying to get people to be circumcised. But yet themselves, they didn't follow the law. They didn't do these things. And so when you start seeing those things that, you know, just read as just basic Bible for so many years, all of a sudden it just becomes real. It's exactly what's happening. It's exactly what's here today, exactly happening again. See, identifying. What was he doing? Identifying himself to these apostles. That all the prophets and all the Psalms and everything was him expressed. See? And now, he says he didn't want to preach, he wanted to teach. Let me drop down here. Let's try 139 here. Now notice now, I love him as I see him walking along there. And why are you so sad? What makes you feel this way? What a beautiful day. Look how everything looks. He said, yeah, I know, but we trusted. Are you just a stranger around here? Don't you know Jesus of Nazareth, a man that was approved of God by signs, by great signs and so forth? Huh? What was he? Approved of God? Vindicated by God? See, we followed him for 3.5 years. And Pilate crucified him. And they buried him, put him in the grave. And they said he was in hopes, we was in hopes that he would be a king, a great leader. And now he lays in the grave, embalmed and laying in the grave. Why, he said, don't you know the scriptures? Oh, I like that. What did he do? He went right straight to the scriptures to prove his point. And any true spirit of God will go straight to the scripture. Praise be to God. That's exactly right. What did he do? He went back in the Old Testament, the books of Moses, and he began to speak about Moses and about the different ones and how that they said Jesus would come and how he would suffer and what he would do. And don't you know this, the scripture, the word said, don't you know that the word that was back there was has been made alive? Huh? That word that those prophets were speaking, now they're made alive. The words that were sung in the psalm, now they're made alive. Now they've made real. Now here they are, manifested, and God expressing his thoughts, what he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. See, don't you know that that word was back there? See, don't you know that Christ should have raised from the dead? No, we didn't know that. Huh? We didn't know he was going to take the book. We didn't know that that mighty angel in Revelation 10. I don't know about you. Well, but the problem is I wasn't a churchgoer, so I didn't hear any of it anyways. But I don't know anybody was preaching about Revelation 10 before the prophet came. I don't know anybody that said, this mighty angel come down, this is Christ, he's going to put one foot on the land, one foot on the sea. I don't know anybody. Why? It hadn't been made alive yet.
Amen. That's right.
But once it became alive, now we got millions of people.
That's right.
We got millions of people that know that scripture's for this day. Because God made it live, made it alive. See? No, we didn't know that. Good people loving him, but they didn't know he was risen from the dead. So is it today? Same thing today exactly, brother, sister. Oh, may God wake your innermost being. People doesn't understand that he's raised from the dead. He's not dead. He's alive. Huh? Just as they didn't know he resurrected in that day, they didn't know he's alive today. But he's alive. He's here among us. See? And now, I put this in at the last minute, this is in a message, proof of his resurrection. And so I put it on the group, I put it on the church group, Faith Tabernacle, and I put it on the fellowship. And so I want to read two or three paragraphs here. This, brother, I ran across this today, and it just meant a lot to me. And so he's talking about the same thing. They're on the road to Emmaus, and they're talking. And he steps out, and Brother Branham said he steps out in disguisement. He steps out, they don't know who he is. And so the thought goes right along, but he's going to add something in here that meant a lot to me. So this is the proof of his resurrection in 1955. And like I said, you can get it, I posted it there. Paragraph 145. And he walked out under disguisement. He appeared to them in the form of a man. He might appear to you in the form of your neighbor. Did you hear that? I'm sorry, I need to back up. Let me see if you feel this. Well, I already read part of it, didn't I? I didn't even realize I had changed. Okay, so let's stay there. So I was already in the message and didn't, so I had lost y'all. I'm sorry. Okay. I think that happened the other night too, Brother Goomba. And I think Brother Goomba thought something was wrong and we were looking for something. We were trying to find it, but it was there. And so I'm doing the same. I've lost you there. Sorry about that. So paragraph 145. This is in... you got it. He walked out under disguisement. He appeared to them in the form of a man. Listen. He might appear to you in the form of your neighbor.
Amen.
He might appear to you in the form of a minister or your mother. Christ appears to you in people.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Brother Branham said, the only way you'll see him today is in one another.
Amen.
That's the only way you're going to see him today, because he's in his bride. And this is getting ahead of where, but we already know where he's going. We already know the threefold purpose. We already know that it's going to be to have that preeminence in his wife.
That's right.
That this is the manifestation of God today is in his wife. That's where he's at. And that's why when I ran across this today, I came to the reading the message, and then sometime I'll go off looking in other messages, something related to it, and just to maybe get some more details or something to help and enlighten. When you're studying, you will search different things to kind of see what you find there. And this just really, really jumped out. Christ appears to you in people. Then treat everybody right. How about that? Yeah, with good reasoning, huh? With good reasoning. Be kindly. Be neighborly. Be loving. Christ is in the person. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as you go along and people appears to you, be kind. See, a kind person begins to speak to you. Listen to them. You don't know. It might be Jesus speaking to you. Now, you've read strangers unaware. Some have entertained strangers unaware. This is what he's talking about. But he's also talking that he's in your neighbor. And who is your neighbor? He's in your mother. Who is your mother? Who is your brother? Who is your sister? Remember Jesus asking the question?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's his bride. That's where he is. He's right there in that bride. And if we think about it, when we're talking to somebody and we think we're talking to Christ, I think we'll talk different.
Amen. Yes,
sir. Yeah, I think we'll talk different. If Michael and I are disagreeing or something, we get snappy with one another, I'm going to look at it differently. If I'm looking at it like this, then if I'm just looking at Don and Michael's having some words, puts a different light on it, doesn't it? It's Christ. That's who it is. That's who it is. That's who I'm looking at. I'm looking at the manifestation of Jesus Christ today. This is what God had in his mind. This was what was in the backside of God's mind of what he wanted to express in this day. What he expressed 2,000 years ago was the fullness of the Godhead bodily in one man, Jesus Christ. But by that and by the death of that one man, he paved the way that he could now in his bride, in a many-membered bride, he would be able to express himself. And that's what we're living in. That's what we're a part of. That's what we're a man. That's the manifestation. That's the expression of God today is right there in that. See, as you go along, people appear to you, a kind person begins to speak to you. Listen to them. You don't know. It might be Jesus speaking to you. See, he appears. I'll be with you, even in you. I love it. Don't you love it when he throws those scriptures in there? And it just makes it more real what he's saying. And as you do unto these, you do it unto me. Another scripture. Huh? Oh, when see, this is just make you want to be nice to everybody, won't it? Yeah, it's him. It's your brother. It's your sister. Oh, when you get to looking at it that way, the old traditions falls away. See, it doesn't become a form of words or a declaration of so many words put together. It becomes a living reality that Christ is in us now. The Holy Spirit moving back and forth through every human being, surging through the heart, searching, condemning the ruins life in there. Huh? That old life got to be annihilated. As you confess it, he holds it before God and the blood cleanses it. Amen. Praise be to God. I just thank him and praise him. It just means so much to us. I think I'm just going to stop. But all of those things, he continues on that same thought. He just continues on. All the Psalms, it was him. All the prophets, it was him. Everything was expressing that thought that he had in his mind. What God had in his mind, what God wanted to manifest. That's what was happening all the time, all the time. And they looked out there and they seen some prophet marry a prostitute. And they're trying to decide whether it's God or not. They seen another prophet laid on his side for so many days. Then he turned over, laid on the other side for so many days. They're like, these guys are crazy people. God was expressing himself.
Yes.
God was expressing himself. He got Moses down there, and what they needed was a great prophet. They needed a great leader to come down there. And God sends down there the meekest man on the face of the earth. He's the most humble. He stutters when he talks. He's so soft. He's so easy. He's so gentle. And they say, no, we need somebody to speak up. We need somebody powerful. We need somebody to stand in the face of Pharaoh. Huh? That was God. That was God. That was God expressing himself right there in that humility, in that simplicity. Oh. When those great ones who could just speak boldly, Korah and Dathan, and they come and said, you think you're the only one? They come, they were powerful. Yeah. Moses didn't fight him. He didn't say nothing. Humbly just let it. God come in and said, stand back. Stand back. Because if they die a natural death, if they die a natural death, I haven't spoken. I'll do a new thing. I will open the earth. I will do a new thing, and I will open the earth and swallow them up and everything that pertains to them. And when I think about those things, I'm thinking about 2 million people. 2 million people, right? That are all together, all their tents, all their cattle, all their families, all their everything. And just as he said that when Titus came in there and surrounded him, he said there was no elect inside them walls, that they all got away. So there was nobody fell in that pit except just them that God had condemned to judgment. That's all. It reached out there, and maybe one was over there, and then there was a couple tents, and one was over there. That opened up and grabbed each one that was supposed to go in the pit. And it didn't take one outside of that. Only that which God had determined was going to go down. God is perfect. So this whole message, this whole Bible, this whole plan, God's thought is so perfect that he just, everything that he's done, everything that you do, you think of the millions of people, billions of people on the earth, and everyone's moving just in the right direction every day to make happen what God wants to happen that day. To put you right where he wants you to be, to make you at the right place, at the right time, to meet the right person. He's got it. He planned it before the foundation of the world. Amen. Had it in his mind. And then it's just glorious when he does it, and then you see it happen. And he has you speak to somebody, or has somebody speak to you, or something takes place, or just whatever it is. It doesn't have to be some great something. It can be just the tiniest little thing, and it just confirms to you again and again and again that he's right there with you every day, everywhere you go. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Let us stand. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, we know that your word is true. We know it's perfect, Lord. We know that all you do, all you say, Lord, is just right. And we give you the glory and the praise and the honor. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, that we are the privileged people to live in this day and hour. Lord, that you would be revealing this great mystery that you had in your mind, Lord. That what you was doing all the time, now you let us see it. Lord, you let us see what it was all about. And now here we are in the full expression, in the full manifestation, in the full revelation, Lord, of who you are and what you are and why you've done all that you've done, Lord. Oh, we praise your lovely name. Lord, may you just bless each one. Lord, we just commit each one to you. Lord, we're looking forward, Lord, to the meetings there with Brother Mwangi. And Lord, for the December meetings with Intika. Lord, all of those things, Lord, they're in our minds and our hearts, Lord, looking forward to, Lord, that you would give us a great visitation. And Lord, just day by day, Lord, as you reconfirm every promise, Lord, by identifying yourself with your bride, your elect, and Lord, let us follow that leadership of the Holy Ghost. Lord, give to us by the voice of God in this day. So we thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise be to God. Amen. I don't have anything. I don't know if Brother Goomba wants to say anything. Okay. All right. So we're going to dismiss you. So may God bless you. And just be in prayer once again for those meetings coming and for our meetings here, that the Lord will just have his way. Amen. Yeah.